Well, good evening. How are y'all doing this evening? That's good. Praise the Lord. Well, if you would, yeah, praise the Lord. That's right. Those of you with us, if you would, stand if you can and welcome those of us online. We're going to start out by singing Love Lifted Me. Was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me.
Cry
to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live. Oh, when love spills over, music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus. Jesus and live. Amen. Praise the Lord. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you, may I be like you. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Please welcome Pastor Steve to the pulpit.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. You know, you can sing without that if you want. Yeah. Well, we kind of a day of transition. Yeah. Kind of a day of transition. So, amen, amen. Good to see y'all tonight. Hello. Hello, hello. How are we doing? Pretty good? Well, it's starting to get dark early now, isn't it? My soul. Amen. All right, testimonies. Somebody give me some good COVID news. Anybody got any good COVID updates? Tiffany, didn't you have a friend? Jesus, how's he doing? Not good. Oh, you don't know. Oh, he passed away. How's the family? Any update on the family? No. Not sure. Okay. All right. Riley, how's Riley doing? Did they figure out what it was? Some kind of little anaphylactic thing going on. Oh, my goodness. A little scary. Can you swallow and breathe? Yeah, amen. All right. So Riley, all well. Amen, all well. That's a good praise. Other testimonies or praises? Anybody, anybody? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. That's Stuart, right? Bethany and Stuart. Amen, man. And you've already had the interview, or you're going to the interview? You had it today. All right. Job interview. All right, we'll pray for God's wisdom and discernment. All right, any other praises or testimonies? Yes, ma'am. I saw that, yeah. That's great. That's praise the Lord stuff right there. Johnny doing better. Amen, amen. What else? Anything else? You got one back there, brother? Did you get that promotion?
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Did you forget to sing some songs? What did you forget to sing? Well, come back and sing them. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on. All right. Any other praises or testimonies? All right. Well, we'll pick it up with prayer requests when he comes. All right. Amen.
Yeah, a couple more hymns. He touched me, and his name is wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
Amen. Yep, that's it. That's all I can think of. Sure, if you want.
One, two. All right. Riley's all well. Praising God for church family. Praise the Lord for family coming back to church. Miss Terry's praising the Lord for the interview and wants us to pray for that process. Johnny Hyman doing better from the COVID. Anything else? Praises? Anything? Good, good. All right. Prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Going to Montana?
No.
No. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Is it Wisconsin? Oh, my. Oh, my soul. That's amazing. Refugees. And that's the DART team, Samaritan's Purse DART team. And that DART stands for Disaster Assistance Team. Disaster. Refugees. Amen. All right. That's a good word. Good. That's amazing. That's just amazing. Unbelievable. All right. What else? Prayer request. Yes, ma'am. You think it's the chemo finally starting to affect him a little bit? Chemo. He's kind of feeling blah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we will pray for that. Pray for him. Amen. And then, yes, ma'am. My goodness. Oh, the car broke down. She was, whose car was she in? Oh my goodness. Okay. Oh, man alive. All right. All right. Put off another week. What else? What else? You were telling me Cherie Wycopen, yeah. Man, it's just, that lady's had a run. Amen, brother. Amen. We'll pray for Cherie Wycopen. Pray for Hal. Cherie and Hal. Their family. Amen. What else? What else? Other prayer needs? Yes, ma'am. Oh, amen. Small group Bible study. Amen. They are prime candidates to lead one, man. Empty nesters. Don't have any babies running around. That's good. That's a good house to go to. Small group Bible study. Amen. Very good, very good. What else? Other prayer needs. Will you check that air back there? When I came in, I threw that thing down. So maybe put on 72, 73. There you go. All right. What you got, Bob? Yes, sir.
They don't think now he's got diverticulitis. They think he's got 11 centimeter or millimeter kidney stones.
Oh, my.
He's in the process of
dealing
with doctors to find out exactly what they want to do about the situation. And then they want to know if he's going to
be in the hospital. Is he in the hospital?
No, he's not in the hospital.
He's not in any kind of pain? Oh, I guess a lot of pain. Got to be in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Kidney stone. Okay. Oh. Come on now. Maybe not. Up north. Chicago. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's still, the COVID is still out there. So do you have a name for me? Eric? All right, Eric and two small children. Yeah, small children testify. Amen. For the COVID. All right. What else? Anything else? No. All right. A friend of mine up in Kansas. We talk probably twice a month. We've prayed for his church before. They've had their choir going for quite a while, and they've got a very large sanctuary, and probably 30 feet from the pulpit to the first pew, and you know, three rows of pews. Sanctuary seats about 600. Ceiling at the very top is probably 30 feet. I don't know. It's a big place. Big balcony in the back. Anyway, the choir was working on their Christmas music, and six of them came down with the COVID. So the music ministers got it. He was vaccinated. His wife came down with it. She wasn't vaccinated. And about half of them are vaccinated, and half of the COVID positive cases are breakthrough cases, and half of them are not. So I said we'd pray for you guys. So First Hayesville, we want to pray for them. First Hayesville, Kansas. Can you believe that? All the way up in Kansas. All right. Anything else? Church. Folks. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Amen, girl. Amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Amen. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we can bear one another's burdens tonight, Lord, and we thank you for these testimonies tonight. Lord, we thank you for your salvation tonight. We thank you for your grace and your mercy tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us. And Father God, we have a place we can come sing about that forgiveness and worship you for that forgiveness. And we have a place tonight we can sing about grace and your love and what your name means to us, Lord. And Lord, we can just sing praises to you. We just are thankful that we can come together tonight in air-conditioned comfort in a beautiful room. And Lord, just pour our hearts out to you in praise and worship. And Lord, as we come together to pray tonight, we want to come to you with joy in our hearts and praise in our hearts, Lord, as we lift up these praises. We're thankful that Riley is all well from his little allergic reaction to whatever it was, Lord. We're thankful that that wasn't long-term didn't get any worse. Lord, we are thankful for church family. We're thankful for family coming back to church. Lord, that's a great praise tonight. Lord, we're thankful for for job interviews and leading and guiding and directing us, Lord, as we seek to serve you. And different capacities and different places. Lord, we lift Terry up as she seeks this other position. Lord, we pray if it be your will that you would just open that door. She would have a peace. She'd know to step through it. Lord, we just praise you for that. Lord, we praise you tonight that Johnny's doing better, Lord. So much bad news we get day in and day out over this COVID pandemic, Lord. It's great to see somebody coming back from it. And, Lord, he's had a long road. He's still got a long road to go. But, Lord, we like to hear the news that he's getting stronger, more animated in his facial expressions, more animated in trying to mouth words and stuff. We're thankful for that. We praise you for that tonight. Lord, we lift up Bethany and Stuart to you, Lord. We pray you might just continue to work in their hearts and on them as they transition back into church. Pray a special prayer for Stuart tonight, Lord. I pray you soften his heart, just draw him back, God. Help him get back. Lord, we're thankful for Samaritan's Purse, and Lord, we're thankful for this DART team. We pray for them as they minister to those refugees, those Afghani refugees, Lord, undisclosed location. Lord, we pray for their safety. We pray for many salvations. Lord, we pray that there just be an environment for people to feel comfortable to leave that Islam and to come to Christ. Lord, I pray it would just happen for so many of those folks. And that, Lord, out of this DART team and out of Samaritan's Purse, there might be an Arabian revival, Lord, where these folks that have been caught up in Islam all their lives finally get to turn their lives over to the one true God and allow Jesus to save them. So, Lord, we pray for that team. We pray for their safety. Pray that they are able to minister. And, Lord, you just anoint everything that goes on with that DART team over there. Lord, we continue to pray for Brother Paul as he's starting to feel some of the effects of the chemo treatment. We pray you strengthen his body. Lord, help him withstand the cure. Lord, we lift him up to you. We pray for his strength. We pray for his balance. We pray for the mouth sores, Lord. We just pray that you help him keep on keeping on in the midst of everything he's got to do and then the chemo tabs he's got to take. Lord, we just pray you help him. And then Sharon, Lord, we pray for this foot. We pray for her car situation, Lord. We lift her up, Lord, everything going on at her house. We just pray you help her discern and figure out what to do with those vehicles. And Lord, we pray that this foot would just come together a little bit more so she can get this surgery taken care of. Lord, we do lift up Cherie Wykopen and Hal to you tonight. We pray for them. We pray for Cherie's health. We pray, Lord, that you might remove that ovarian cancer from her, and God, that there might be healing in her future. And Lord, we just pray that you strengthen them and pray a hedge of protection around their household, Lord, that nothing else at this time would come against them, Lord. We just lift up Cherie to you tonight. Jeff and Susie, Lord, we're thankful that they're able to lead a small group Bible study in their home. And Lord, we pray that there would be great truth given and great truth received. And Lord, people discipled. And Lord, if there's anyone that's lost in the midst of that Bible study, we pray that in that environment they would feel the freedom to ask questions about salvation. And Lord, we pray that someone even tonight might receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, we lift up Bobby's friend Dennis in this situation with a kidney stone. We pray you give those doctors wisdom and discernment, and the insurance, and all the parties involved, Lord. We pray that would get resolved quickly. And Lord, pray you just be with Dennis, give him what he needs to get through this time of great discomfort and severe pain. And then, Lord, this other friend, Eric, with two small children tested positive for COVID. Lord, we pray that it be a very light case. Lord, we pray that you see them through. We pray that it might even be a false positive, Lord. We just pray that you would help Eric and these two small children, that there would not be any kind of serious disease come about from this virus on them. And that, Lord, they would come through it virtually unscathed. So, God, we lift Eric up to you. We just pray a hedge of protection around them. We pray for their health. And, Lord, we just pray you see them through this situation. Lord, we pray for First Hayesville, Kansas, all the way up in Kansas. Lord, we lift up Brother Bo's church. Pray for his Mr. Music and wife and those other four choir members with COVID. We pray you might bring healing to their bodies. We pray that none of them would have to go to the hospital or be intubated or, Lord, have to spend weeks or months in the hospital. Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would see them through and get them past the virus, get them on down the road. Lord, we lift up Terry with this new diagnosis of lymphedema. And, Lord, we just pray that you touch her body and give her what she needs to do what you've called her to do in spite of this diagnosis. Lord, we pray that it would get better. And, Lord, we pray that her body would process those fluids and keep her from having these severe issues of swelling in her legs. Lord, we do lift up the state of Montana again tonight. We pray for the hospital in Billings, Lord, at 175% capacity in their ICU. We pray for those doctors and nurses, Lord. We pray for those patients. Lord, I pray that they could save every single one of them. Lord, I pray that there would be miracles of healing. And Lord, I pray that there would, Lord, that the virus would quit spreading so rampant up there. Lord, be with Montana, be with Idaho, be with Alaska, Lord. Be with these three states that are kind of on the back end of this Delta variant surge. Lord, I pray we'd continue to lift those people up and that they would make it through. Father God, we're thankful for those doctors and nurses. Strengthen them. Help those healthcare workers. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight as we get back in it. And Lord, we give you the praise and the glory for what you want to try to show us this evening. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Take your Bibles. Let's turn to Revelation, as that's where we find ourselves working through. And the question we ask Sunday nights, this question we ask this evening, hopefully you have a part in the perseverance of the saints, or do you have a part in the perseverance of the saints? We hope everyone here has a part in the perseverance of the saints. Our passage is Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. I'll invite you to stand right quick as we read these two verses. They're real short, just an up and a down here right quick. The Word of God reads in Revelation chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Have you found it? Amen. Those of you watching with us online, good to see y'all tonight. We're in Revelation 14, beginning in verse 12. It says, here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. Notice what it says, who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we said last week that the obvious question that the text provokes is, why are these dead so blessed? It says the dead are blessed. So why are they so blessed? They are blessed because of how they live. Verse 12 tells us, and I read that verse again to you, and I'm going to read it one more time. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God. Notice what it says, who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus, right? They are blessed because of how they live. The phrase we said last time, the perseverance of the saints, introduces one of the most important and most comforting doctrines in Scripture. Now, what do we call it in most churches? Perseverance of the saints? What do we call it? What do we call it? Because we don't say perseverance of the saints. That's what the Bible says. What do we call it? Oh, we got a term for it. Huh? Security of the? Yeah. And we also say, once saved, always saved. That's our jargon for it. Amen? Yeah, just want to make sure you guys are still with me. Perseverance of the saints, right? Now, we said last time, Sunday night, we said no group of believers has faced or ever will face stronger assaults on their faith than the tribulation saints. We talked about Sunday night, we said there's no stronger evidence that saving faith perseveres than the reality that the most tested believers in history will maintain their saving faith until the very end. we talked about. We said their persevering loyalty to Jesus Christ from that bright, or forms the bright spot in the darkness of the tribulation. I mean, think about it. I mean, man, things are falling from the sky, and rivers are running red, and trees are burning down, and earthquakes are opening up, and volcanoes are belching stuff in the air, and this Antichrist guy is running around, and people are taking the mark of the beast. And I mean, people are starving, and people are dying, and wars, and then he's bringing world peace to all this. It's just chaos and mayhem and this and that. And then you've got these two witnesses, and then before them, the 144,000, the two witnesses, you've got all this gospel preaching. And then in the midst of all that, you've got people getting saved. Now, not everybody gets saved, but some people get saved. It's incredible, right? And they get saved, and they don't fall away. They stick with it to the very, very end, right? We said the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints rests on four proofs in the Word of God. Now, I don't have time to take you through all of the verses, but I give you the points. The first proof is that God promised this perseverance. He promised it. We are promised to persevere if we are saved. We're promised that. Amen? The second proof is that God's purpose assures this perseverance. His purpose all along is for you to persevere in your faith to the very end until you see Him face to face. Right? His purpose is not for you to fall away. His purpose is not for you to get saved and then lose your salvation. That's not His purpose at all. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross how many times? One time. That is correct. Amen. We said a third proof is that God's power guarantees this perseverance. His power guarantees it. You can't get around. You can't go through. You can't subtract from. You can't do away with. It's God's power, and His power guarantees this perseverance. And then finally, we said a fourth proof is because salvation is wholly by God's grace. And we took you to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and you all know that verse, but that's just a one reference I give to you. Now, what we know in the theological landscape of our day, when we start talking about, and I'm not saying this in a negative light, I'm just saying as a matter of fact, but as we start talking about other churches in our land, because we're not the only church, of course, there's hundreds of thousands of churches in America, a lot of good ones. When we start talking about other churches, we know that some well-meaning, and I'm telling you, they are well-meaning, sincere folks, well-meaning Christians. I mean, I believe them to be saved. But they argue, and they believe, and they attempt to defend from Scripture that one, that somebody, that you, that perhaps even themselves, that they can lose their salvation, right? And you hear somebody say that, or you hear somebody preach on that, or you hear that discussed, and you're just like, what? No. I mean, that right. To argue that saving faith can die, that saving faith can be lost, contradicts God's promises. It contradicts His purposes. It contradicts His power, and it contradicts His grace. What you got to understand, and I'm probably preaching to the choir here, even though we don't have one, but you understand what I'm saying. I know that you know this, but we got to be reminded of it every time there's an opportunity to be reminded of it. Believers have been born again. You've been born, if you're saved, you have been born again. Listen to what Peter says in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." God guarantees that believers will persevere. Now, after we've attempted to explain the perseverance of the saints, it begs the question, we've got to ask it, We wouldn't be doing right if we didn't. So the right thing to ask is, do you think that we as believers have a responsibility to persevere? Do we have the responsibility? If you're shaking your head yes, if you're thinking yes, if you're thinking, yeah, I think that's right. If you think that we have a responsibility to persevere, you are absolutely correct. The answer is yes. Over and over again in Scripture, the Bible makes clear that we have a responsibility to persevere. Now, you're living it here tonight, your responsibility to persevere. When you get in your Bible outside of church, or even in church, you're living your responsibility to persevere. When you come to a crossroad, and you know the Bible tells you to go this way, and your flesh is telling you to go that way, and you go the way of the Bible, you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, you remember what the Bible says, you're giving testimony, man, of perseverance of the saints, right? Yes, amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22 says, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Matthew 24, 13 says, "But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved." Barnabas, good old encouraging Barnabas, man. Barnabas, come on in here, brother, you lover of men. Barnabas, when he arrived in Antioch, he encouraged those Christians. And this is what he says. He says, "Then he arrived and witnessed the grace of God. He rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord." His encouragement was stay true. His encouragement was keep on keeping on. You know, I say that a lot, don't I? Just keep on keeping on. Just keep on, because I'm telling you, you'll have plenty of opportunity to not keep on. You'll have plenty of opportunity to say, eh, just keep on keeping on. I mean, it's, and sometimes it's a day at a time, sweet Jesus, right? And sometimes it's an hour at a time keeping on. And sometimes it's even a minute by minute. I'm going to just keep on keeping on here. They're not going to take my joy. They're not going to steal my good day. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Amen? Acts chapter 14, 22 says, "Strengthening the souls, the disciples encouraged them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God." Through many tribulations. Sounds like the last couple of years here, doesn't it? Sounds like the last couple of years in the world, right? Through many tribulations. Through many tribulations. Amen? We must enter the kingdom of God. To the Romans, the Apostle Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Who will render to each person according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." When Paul was writing to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, he was clearly revealing God's part in salvation and man's responsibility to persevere. Our responsibility to persevere. Colossians 1, 21 and 23 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." The author of Hebrews wrote, Hebrews 3:14, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." It's always you have a beginning, but you gotta. Oh. And sometimes I'm just barely holding on, right? But you gotta keep on holding on, right? Amen. You gotta keep on holding on. Even in the great book of Revelations, John wrote not just in this passage, but other verses about Christians being overcomers. He wrote about it in 2:7. He wrote about it in chapter 2, verse 11. 2, verse 17, he wrote about it again in 2, 26 through 28. Again, 3, 5. Again, 3, 12, 3, 21. Over and over again. Even in his first epistle, John wrote, you probably have covered it in Sunday school or you're about to. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 through 5. You covered that one yet? Coming up to it, maybe. The Word of God reads, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Yes, yes? For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith has overcome the world. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So begs the question again. We got to ask it if we want to do right. You want to do right tonight? You want to try to get it right tonight? You want to try to get the truth tonight? Amen. So then we got to ask the question, how then do believers persevere? You tell me I've got a responsibility to persevere. How then do I persevere? I want to know. I need to know how I persevere, Pastor Stephen. How do I do it? Well, by faith. Number one, how's your faith? Remember we talked about just a little, little faith. It's got to be genuine. It's got to be real, right? Just a little faith. And then, how about some fear? Fear helps us persevere. We don't like that in the West. We don't like that in America. But don't talk. And if I want to be scared, I'll go to a scary movie. Don't be talking to me about fear. Yeah, you got to fear God. Yeah, fear God, His holiness, right? Fear God. Okay, so faith, fear. How about love? Amen. It's going to happen by love. How about obedience? Right? Love, obedience, faith, fear. And I'll give you one more. We don't have time. Just don't have time to turn to all these passages. Maybe we'll try to include those next time. But turning away from sin, that's how we persevere. Turning away from sin. Amen? You got any other ideas how we persevere? Anybody got 2 cents to add? How we persevere? Huh? Keep praying. Stay in the Word. Amen? Right? Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Right? Amen? All right. All those means of persevering are granted by who? They're granted by God Almighty. In that, He enables us and empowers us by His Holy Spirit, by the person of the Holy Spirit, to carry these means out, which is why God then exhorts believers to manifest the means of perseverance in their lives. So if you're going to manifest, you've got to manifest faith. You got to manifest a holy fear in God, right? A reverence, a respect, right? A worshipful fear. You've got to do that. You've got to manifest obedience. You've got to manifest love, right? You've got to manifest these things. You've got to manifest this ability, this desire, this want to turn away from sin, right? You don't always get that right, but you want to, you know, keep a short sin account, and then when you're faced with that temptation again, you want to turn away from it. Amen? Turn away from that sin. Right. Making sense? So, we got to ask another question. Can we have any imbalances with this doctrine of perseverance? And the answer is yes. What's one of the main imbalances we have? We are out of whack with this doctrine. We are not thinking right with our spiritual heart and mind. When we think, or when we teach, or when we believe, that believers will be eternally saved regardless of their belief and regardless of how they behave, right? Regardless of their belief and regardless of their behavior. What the perseverance of the saints means. See, everybody's on board with the perseverance of the saints until we get to this point right here. Then we go get to this point, then it is complicated. It's complicated. Because what do we have a tendency to do? Anybody? We always have the tendency. Somebody's got to remind us of it. I know I'm the guy that always reminding us of it. But we have a tendency of putting personal relationships above what? Huh? Above God's truth. Above God. Yeah. We have a tendency to do that. So, what is this thing we're talking about? What the perseverance of the saints means is that true believers will continue in the faith. Well, I know somebody to believe to be, I believe to be saved, and they're not continuing in the faith. You better hope and pray they're prodigal. Better hope and pray they're prodigal. And then you better pray. You better pray. And you better tell them. What are you doing? What are you doing? You said this is who you are. You said you were a Christian. You gave testimony by baptism. You came to church for a while. What are you doing? What are you doing? Man, I love you. I love you. I don't want you to go to a place called, I don't want you to go there. So what in the world are you doing, right? This is how it works in the Bible. I can't change this. You can't change this. And somebody who has a religious experience and falls away can't change it. If you are justified, justification, if you are justified, you will be sanctified. If you're justified, you will be sanctified. It will happen. Sanctification, discipleship will happen. If you're justified, you will be sanctified. And if you're sanctified, you will be what? Huh? That is right. Justification leads to sanctification. Sanctification leads to glorification. You can't have one without the other. They all three. It is the process of salvation. Nobody gets to change that. Nobody, right? Nobody. The Word of God tells it. That's what it is. Justification followed by sanctification leads to glorification. The process of salvation then leads to that often painful question that we would rather not address and that we would prefer the pastor not remind us of. That question is about those who once professed faith in Christ but then fell away. They professed faith in Christ but then fell away. The Bible teaches that such people were never saved in the first place. You're one out. You're one exemption. You're one maybe could they be. Are they prodigal? But what did the prodigal do? The prodigal came home. You said it, not me. The prodigal came home, right? So, if they never come home, you have to do your Columbo. Y'all remember Columbo? You got to do your Columbo. You got to pull your hand up here like this. Well, you know, you got to go into your Columbo voice. You know? Do y'all remember that show? Okay. A few of them. Huh? Thank you, brother. Amen. That's right. That's right. I know. Quit watching those old shows. It's either that or Gunsmoke. Columbo or Gunsmoke. All right. Amen? Those are good shows, though, right? Clean, kind of wholesome. A whole lot better than the shows today. All right. Sound like an independent again. All right. The question is about those who once professed faith in Christ but then fell away. The Bible teaches, what did I say? The Bible teaches that such people were never saved in the first place. And we just covered it. We just covered the very rocky soil of the parable of the soils, right? In Matthew's gospel. We just went through that on a Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago. I'll remind you of the passage. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. The Word of God reads this. It says, "The one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away." Jesus warned in John's gospel in John 15, 6. He says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, and he dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And then, perhaps you've covered this in Sunday school or you're about to, 1 John 2:19, "They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us." Right? So, What do you do with that? Well, you've got the most powerful thing that God has ever given humanity. You have prayer. And so you pray for these people, and then you have to speak to these people, and then you have to risk your relationship with these people, because you ultimately what? Love these people. Love these people. This life here is, what's the word? Short. Yeah, the next one? Long. And it never ends. The next one never ends. The next one. This one's in preparation for the next one. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Such a short time to determine such a long time. Unbelievable. So, you've heard it one more time. Pray for them. Talk to them. And then risk the relationship. It's tough. It's easy to say, very difficult to do. That's why we keep saying it. Keep reminding you. Because one day it's going to click. One day you're going to look at that individual and you're going to say, I love them too much to let this keep going. And with a tear in your eye and that shaky frog thing going on in your voice, you're going to lay the cards out on the table for them. And they're either going to take it or they're not. But I'm telling you, you'll have peace once you do it. You'll have peace. Now, your heart will be broke if they still don't come, they still don't receive Christ, they still don't come back, or whatever. I mean, your heart will be broke. But you'll have the peace that you did what? You tried. Amen. You tried. Amen. That's the love of Christ. Amen. You tried. So keep on trying. Amen. Keep on praying. Keep on going. Shall we pray? Amen. Let's pray it out. Dear Jesus, we thank you again for tonight. Lord, difficult stuff when we finally get down in the perseverance of the saints. Boy, it's real, real encouraging on the surface, Lord, but when we get to the application, the implication of it, it's wow. Hard, hard, hard. But Lord, we do know it is a comforting and it's a doctrine that helps us. Lord, we know nothing can remove us from the hand of God. But Lord, we know that perseverance of the saints means just that, that the saints persevere. So Lord, we pray that we'd be faithful to do that, that we'd be fearful to do that, that we would be lovingly doing that, that we would do that with obedience, and that, God, we would do that, and every opportunity we get, we turn away from that sin that we're so easily ensnared and entrapped by. God, thank you that you've determined that we can persevere. You've guaranteed it, and you've promised it, and your power fulfills it. You've given us the Holy Spirit to make it all happen. Lord, thank you for that. And then, Lord, help us in the different areas of our lives with the different people that we know. Lord, help us help them. And Lord, help other Christians help them. And help circumstance help them. And Lord, just help them. Help them. Help us help them make peace with God before it is eternally too late. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Thank you for your great mercy and grace. And thank you again for our church, your church. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right. All right, folks online, we'll see you next time. Good to see you tonight.